Today is special. Today is a day that we set aside to remember those that has been laid to rest, that has surrendered their lives for protection of this country, for that they, so that we can worship, so that we can live. And I love seeing all the flags, and it just calls to mind of, you know, sadly, there is destruction that goes on to some of the cemeteries, that vandals will come, vandals spray paint, turn over, and do destruction, and which is so dishonoring to those that have died. It breaks our hearts. Then I think how much more that it must break God's heart for people to dishonor their bodies and their minds with not honoring Him, not honoring our Lord. And how much we need to, we just set aside this one day to look at those who have passed, but that we need to set aside our lives day by day as we surrender up to the Lord, to what He has done for us, to give us life. So let's take a look. In 1 Corinthians, it talks in many verses in 1 Corinthians. We have in 12 and in 15 that we take a look, and it says that, but thanks be to God, for who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. One of the things that we get to do as we stand aside and we look back to those that have passed away, you know, it actually can bring us closer to them as we think on them, as we cherish their memories, cherish their sacrifices. And it may sound counter as opposed to us living in life with people, how much more we need to cherish those around about us. And as we take this special day set aside, we're taking this special moment being set aside as we take communion. Let's think about our Lord Jesus Christ, of what He has surrendered willingly, just as even more so than someone signs up for the military and to go into battle. Our God surrendered His Son to the Lord Jesus Christ. He surrendered to give us life, that we can have it eternally. Let's not waste a day living and enjoying life and those who are still with us. Cherish it. And as we take the cup and remember the blood that was spilt by our Lord, and as we take the bread and we feast on that, we remember the life that was given for us. And as we look at the cross as our memorial, I usually wear a cross. We have them all about. And to remember the cross that our Lord hung there for you and for me, to give us life. God bless.
Joshua, the Israelites took 12 stones from the Jordan River up onto the shore and piled them as a memorial tribute and remembrance of God holding back the river water so that they could cross on dry ground. It's in Joshua chapter 4, 19 through 24. Now the people came up from the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they camped in Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. And that, those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up in Gilgal. Then he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, "When your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, 'What are these stones?' then you shall let your children know, saying, 'Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry land.' For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over, that all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever." The Bible is full of memorials. God wants you to remember how good he is. He wants you to remember in your life the things that he's done for you, because you can use them as a testimony to encourage others. Because what he does for you, he'll do for others too. The word memorial occurs 26 times in the Bible and refers to something that is a reminder, such as a remembrance offering. Memorial Day was first called Decoration Day because the families of Union soldiers after the Civil War would decorate the graves of those who died fighting for the Union. The southern states celebrate Confederate Memorial Day on the spring day that each state has set aside. They don't celebrate with the rest of us. Since World War I, the date has been used to commemorate the dead of all wars, even back to the Revolutionary War. We set up memorials most often in cemeteries. As a pastor, I get to go and do services in a variety of cemeteries. And one of my favorite ones is up in Chandler. I don't know if you enjoy going for day trips and seeing sights, but someday you need to go up to Chandler and walk through the cemetery there. There is a great tribute. I mean, it's enormous, to a famous lawman that lived in Chandler. And I guess he served from Chandler. He even has a list of all the ne'er-do-wells and outlaws that he brought to justice. And I mean, this thing is really something to look at. What's also amazing is there are a couple of memorials to a couple of the people whose names were on that list. They're quite a bit smaller. I'd never been to Michigan in my life, but when my mother passed away, much to our surprise, she wanted her ashes interred in Northport, Michigan, where her ancestors came from. She'd only been to Northport once, and that was when my daughter, her oldest grandchild, was married in Chicago. They took a flight up and toured Northport and visited the cemeteries and some of their ancestors or their descendants that still lived. So before we interred my mother's ashes, we toured these cemeteries, and my sister, who's the family historian, took us around and showed us all of these folks that had been part of our family. Back in Michigan, they've got a lot of Civil War tributes. The World War I and World War II veterans, Korean War veterans, and even Vietnam War veterans were there in those large cemeteries. Carol had always wanted to go and visit where her mother grew up in the North Kansas, almost to Nebraska. We found this little town. It's not a town anymore. There's just four buildings left where she grew up. But we did find the cemetery, and scattered throughout the graveyard were three of her ancestors, relatives that she had not ever met, her grandfather and two of her uncles buried there in North Kansas. I graduated high school during the Vietnam War. At our 10-year class reunion, I was curious to learn how my classmates had fared with the war. I found out that none of my class of over 600 were known to have died in the conflict. However, Daniel Fry, who was in the class ahead of me and had been in the junior high marching band for 2 years with me, had died in combat. When Dan Fry's, we were in Washington, D.C., I had the opportunity to visit the Vietnam Memorial. I searched for Dan Fry's name and found him listed as killed in action. The entire memorial took on a new significance because I knew someone who was listed there. The Bible, again, talks about a lot of memorials. The Passover and all the Jewish feasts were meant to be memorials. Memorials of things that God had done for the people and memorials for things that God was going to do for the people. Passover, the freedom from bondage in Egypt, and then Jesus freeing us from the bondage of sin. Pentecost, the day that the church was founded. Tabernacles, trumpets, the Day of Atonement, all memorials to remember that God was our provider and that God was ahead of us and God had provided eternal life for us. We are one of those churches that celebrates the memorial of communion every week. It's one of the blessings of being part of the Independent Christian Church. In Luke chapter 22, verse 19 and 20, Jesus established this memorial in the middle of Passover. He said, "And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you.'" A remembrance, a memorial, something to hold on to remember what God has done for us. Very significant. But I think the most significant memorial that God has set up for us, one that Carol referred to, one that is prominent in the church, is the cross. On that cross, Jesus received our punishment. Romans 5, 8 and 9 says, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." Significant memorial. Our sin taken by Jesus, our punishment placed upon Jesus so that we would not need to be punished. 1 Thessalonians 1:10, it says Jesus delivers us from the wrath to come. And 1 Thessalonians 5:9, it says, "For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ," the cross. Beside Jesus receiving our punishment, our sin debt was paid in full. Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." 1 Corinthians 1:18, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Ephesians 2:16, "And that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity." We should not have enemies in this human realm. Our enemy is the devil. He's not human. He never was. But we shouldn't have humans as our enemies. Jesus died for everyone that we know, everyone we run across. Galatians 6:14, "But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." the cross changed everything. When I was 13, attending Sunday school, we had a CPA that was the leader of our Sunday school junior high group, a very brave man. Imagine leading a group of seventh grade boys in through the Bible. He was an amazing person. But his witness put skin on Jesus for me. His testimony. And as I think through memorials, David Hoffner is one of those cloud of witnesses I'll look for in heaven. Because his life, the way he treated seventh grade boys, really needed a good whooping. And yet he showed us Christ's love. Demonstrated it in so many ways. I never would have gone to camp, ever, had it not been for Dave Hoffner paying my way to the boys' camp one summer. The memorials, thinking back. And it was in his class that I accepted Christ first as Lord and Savior. Now, my wife, more mature than I was, came to Christ at 8 years old. I had to wait until I was 13 before I figured things out. And then Truman Solis, a plumber, was a leader of the high school Sunday school group and took groups of us up into the High Sierras. First time I read through the book of Revelation was in the High Sierras backpacking, fighting off mosquitoes and eating fresh trout for dinner we'd caught out of the lakes. But reading the Bible and gaining a love for it, because Truman Solis loved the Bible and encouraged us as we studied it. Memorials. Where did you meet Jesus? How did he change your life? What difference has the cross made for you? We need to remember that. We need to be able to condense it down into just 2, 3, 4 minutes so we can share it with people. Not scriptures, but your life. Your life written as a living testimony to what God has done, because you're a memorial. Your life is a memorial. And you should be able to tell people why your life is a memorial. God grabbed a hold of Carol and I, and we've taught Sunday school. We've led small groups. We've been instrumental in people's lives because the cross changed us. We grew in the grace and admonition of the Lord because Christ changed us. We trusted Him to do things that we would not have normally done. I'm normally an introvert and would rather be home quietly watching TV than being out at meetings or teaching people. And yet God changed me. He touched me. Started with small groups and He changed my heart. He took my heart of stone and put a pastor's heart in its place. He did that because I was willing to follow Him and do what He told me to do. One thing after another, following the cross, following Christ, expecting a miracle. I got to go visit Nancy Satterfield and take her communion the other day. And you need to be praying for her and her family because she's cooped up. She's working at walking and gaining her strength after being in that wheelchair for so long. Her leg muscles need practice. She's almost like a little child learning how to walk again. But I was able to encourage her with things that have happened that God has used me for. Stories, testimonies of how God works through us even when we don't expect Him to, the miracles that He does. You say, well, God hasn't done any miracles through me. Yes, He has. He's changed you. You're here this morning. on this beautiful day. You're not out fishing somewhere or golfing or doing something else that might be more fun than coming to church. You're here. It's got to be a reason. Besides liking to hear me speak, it's got to be a reason. Besides coming to bring your offering, there's got to be a reason. It's God and how He's changed you. And He's put a desire for you to be in the presence of His people. A testimony. A lot of the hymns we sing are memorials. The old rugged cross we sang this morning. I'm glad you picked that one and not this one, because the old rugged cross is my testimony. It's my story. But another one speaks to me, and it's called At the Cross. It's on page 188. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would He devote that sacred head for sinners such as I? At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I have done He groaned upon the tree? Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away, 'tis all that I can do. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Our lives are a testimony. Our lives should be a memorial as you walk through. Because people want to know that it is possible to be a Christian. They hear all the bad news about all the Christians that have failed. They hear the bad news of the pastors and the preachers that have messed up. Is it possible to be a Christian? Yes, it is. And every one of you is proof in your own way that it is possible, because we're Christians by grace. It's not how wonderful we are. It's how wonderful God is. And He's called you. He's touched you. He's changing you. He's growing you up into a new creation that will live forever and ever, thanks to the cross. Lord, we love You and we thank You that as we celebrate this Memorial Weekend, that You are our salvation. You are eternal life. You have changed us. You have made us into living stones, living memorials of Your power, Your transforming power upon us who are weak, struggling, resisting, but You're faithful You never let us go. And you continue to work through us in an amazing way. And we thank you, Lord. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you stand with us as we sing our invitation hymn?